distinction to the role. Different players, different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing.
Well, I think that means I need to start talking here. I don't know. What do y'all think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. we're all sitting here concentrating on this gardenia bloom.
Yeah, you got a picture, and it's got little black insects on it. And
well, Nelsa, I sent the photo to Nelsa because she says these are biting little boogers. So
that's a new one.
Like biting humans, like they bite humans.
I don't know.
Is that the technical name for those?
Let's get Richard on here. Richard sent this photo of a beautiful gardenia. What variety of gardenia is that, Richard? Do you know?
I don't think it makes any difference. It's the old fashioned type, and it's.
Well, it makes a difference to me. I was just curious. I wouldn't ask you the question. I'm not talking about whether it makes any difference to the thrips or whatever the heck they are. They're biting little boogers. Nelsa, yes, they are. Yes, they are. Okay, so they are thrips. I was right.
Yep.
I was right.
Now that you mentioned that, yes, I really, they're thrips. I just.
You just wanted to call and talk to us, didn't you, Richard?
So I'm assuming they're probably not going to. I mean, they shorten the life. I think they shorten the life of the bloom a little bit.
I don't know, man. But, I don't. I don't get out there and.
So typically, what thrips do, my understanding is that they get into the bud and they start feeding on the bud. And then when the bud opens up, it's deformed.
Kind of like a job sometimes. They suck the life out of you.
Yeah, they are they have little sucking mouth parts like needles, and they're sucking out the nutrients. So are you seeing deformed blossoms?
I probably am, but I guess I just never really paid attention to really what the
yeah I suspect I have like. Them too. I'm sure that I've seen them recently on gardenias, at least one plant, and an insecticidal soap or some of the lighter weight, I guess a summer weight oil,
you could
smother
right
them
before the blooms open, because if they get in there before the blooms open.
Well, I mean, this the oils and the soap smother them, and
Okay.
I mean, you can use other, but I mean, as a preventative before they bloom, I guess you could spray some oil on there. But I think normally, what do you think, Rufus?
Well, I think it's like the little boy had some ice cream, and his mother the fly lid on it, and she said, "Don't eat that, son." He said, "Don't worry, Mommy, it doesn't eat much."
I don't think you really need to worry too much about it. I'm sure you have a good crop of them, because everything's blooming so well this year, including the gardenias.
I got nine plants across the front of my house, and they're all basically in full bloom, and they're just covered with those little thrips.
I did pull it up on the Clemson Extension Service website, which has a great series of fact sheets on insect and disease control and ornamentals, vegetables, fruit crops, etc. And they do, one of the products they mention is spinosad, S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D, as in dog, spinosad. And that is an organic option. There's several other products as well that you can use, but spinosad is one that's. Okay. But you do need to be careful that you're not using something that's, it's going to harm beneficials as well. So.
Oh, I understand. And I am concerned about that. What was that website again?
It's the University of Clemson.
They have a great horticulture department.
It's their home and garden information center. website, Home and Garden Information Center, and they just have a wealth of information on all things related to insect and diseases, on just about anything you grow in the fruit, vegetable, ornamental garden. It's a terrific resource.
Yeah, what I'm reading that Nelsa sent me, actually, I asked Nelsa about this, and she said confirmed that they were thrips. And the article she sent says try to avoid chemical insecticides. Thrips quickly build resistance to chemicals. So, this, just like I mentioned, spray with water. Prune the infested branches. Use insecticidal soap, safer soap. And that will help. And also, if you got ladybugs around, ladybugs like them too. And some other, beneficial insects.
When I asked about that website, when you first started talking, I lost your connection there a minute, and I didn't hear what you said, other than the fact that it's Home and Garden Information Center.
Yeah, it's from the University of Clemson.
Okay, Clemson University, okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As they say up home, Clemson.
Clemson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get out there first with a water hose and a light spray, lightest spray on your water hose, and try that and see if that gets rid of
dislodge them, that'll go a long way.
That'll ruin their day, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, very good. Thank you for that information. Okay, back to the guy that you had, the NC Tomato Man.
Yes, Craig LaHoulier.
Okay, I just wanted to verify his Gmail. Was that nctomatoman@gmail.com?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yes. He is the Tomato Man. And Richard, if you're really interested in tomatoes, you ought to buy a copy of Epic Tomatoes. It was a national bestseller in the gardening world. And it is quite a manual. He has a doctorate in chemistry, and he worked for one of the big companies, GlaxoSmithKline or Wellcome, whatever they are now.
Okay.
And so he's a really smart guy, and he just developed this interest in tomatoes and the heirloom tomatoes particularly. And he used to have a little place out at the farmer's market, a little place where he sold heirloom tomato plants, and he has collected seeds. He's developed tomato varieties. I mean, when he goes into something, he goes in whole hog. He writes, he has a great website. He has just Google it, an Instagram account. He'll take you on a I guess every week he goes during the summer. He takes you a tour.
Years ago when I first met him, Mike, he was out of the back.
Is he in any kind of connection with Gerald, the Tomato Man?
He's been on the show with them. They've been on the show with each other.
Yeah, they're friendly.
Yeah, I mean, there's no competition. But they do similar things. They're both extremely smart people, for one thing.
I was going to say, Richard, when I first met Mr. Houlier, it was out at the farmer's market, and he wasn't even under the roof. He was dealing out of the trunk of his car, with a little table there.
Right.
Dealing.
Sounds good.
So look for all of that, and look for Epic Tomatoes. I think if you're really interested in tomatoes, this will tell you everything and more that you ever want to know about tomatoes. And he also has a much smaller book on straw bale gardening.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation that you guys had.
Well, thank you very much, and he will be back this summer at least two more times.
Okay. I appreciate your guys' time. Thank you.
All right, Richard, good luck. Don't worry about those thrips, man.
Oh, I'm not going to, but...
Yeah, go out and talk them off. Go out there and talk them off.
Michael needs to take his own advice.
Do some chants. Huh?
Yeah, so you did take your own advice.
I do?
About the thrips.
Oh.
On your gardenias.
I don't care about the thrips. They can have it. I just want to enjoy it. I pull them off, then I blow the bugs off, and then I sniff.
Yeah,
and I don't usually take them inside unless I make sure the bugs are gone. That's how I roll, as they say.
I love it when they had the twice blooming a year gardenia. What's the name of that one?
Prince Charles. It used to be called Prince Charles. It was developed by a guy in Siler City.
We met him, didn't we?
We sure did meet him. And there's another variety, too. I think we have both. We're given both of them. But, that's a dwarf gardenia, although it's starting to get a little larger. Richard, thank you so much, my friend. And you're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. Brother Paul, anything else you want to add to that conversation about the thrips?
Well, for the record, you were right all along, and I tried to convince you otherwise, but it was just
in my research. I just wasn't off the top of my head. I just looked, just common sense as a reporter, especially these days. I mean, I had to work for so long without the internet as a reporter and without GPS and stuff. You just, and with this now, gosh, you can find anything.
Yeah.
But I wanted, we had to confirm it. That's why I checked with Nelsa, because you told me to check with Nelsa or Phil.
Yeah. And so thrips are tiny little insects, and like I said,
they kind of longish, dark, dark brown, black. Yeah.
And I think maybe it's in the early stage, in the growth stage, or the nymph stage. Maybe they're very hard to see. And but if you see,
why is that funny, Rufus?
Puberty.
No, oh pupa. God. I said pupa, not
I
puberty.
I thought you said puberty.
No. Let's just not have any discussion related to that. Pupa.
I think they're actually nymphs.
God,
technically
okay.
speaking,
isn't that great?
I think they're classified as nymphs. But in that stage, they are very tiny. But if you see deformed flower buds, and they're not just on gardenias, thrips get on a variety of flowering plants, including annuals and perennials. So if you see deformed flower buds or deformed blossoms, that is one thing to look for. Or send a picture to your local extension agent or master gardener volunteer.
Yeah. I just don't worry about stuff like that. Craig was talking about not being able to kill anything. That's kind of the way it is in my landscape. I don't want to get rid of anything. I'm just kind of like that. If I like something, I don't want to get rid of it and replace it like Mark Wethington says to do, which is a really good idea if you have limited space. But I can't do it.
I'm coming around a little bit. I've got a nasty old shrub that
if it's a nasty old
bloom,
shrub
that I put it in there years
ago. Yeah. Something like that.
Break down and take a drink this fall and take it out of there.
But all of my stuff is just, it's going crazy. It's just absolutely going crazy.
But if you've got a plant that, like Rufus is saying, that's outlived its usefulness and it no longer looks good and it's no longer adding anything to your landscape, why are you hanging on to it? Why are you pruning it? I mean, why are you spending time on it?
Yeah.
And you see that over and over again in people's landscape.
I'm going to have to get rid of some stuff. It's just all there is to it.
I mean, it's a common mistake. You bring home something from the nursery, and you plant it somewhere, and you don't take into account how big it's going
to
get.
You don't want to, really. You've been told.
Or even if you do.
But the desire is instantaneous gratification.
Yeah. But even if you do, even if you go out with a tape measure, if you've got something that's been in the ground for 30 years, it's going to probably get bigger than it says it will get on the plant tag. So,
I know I ordered one time a dwarf crepe myrtle. It's at least 50 feet tall now.
Figures.
Yeah.
Absolutely figures.
Well, I think the definition of dwarf is grows slowly.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like the little Jim magnolias.
Determinate. Yeah. I know Gerald puts on his...
Indeterminate. That's kind of the way I make decisions.
I understand indeterminate, but I don't understand determinate. I got Gerald...
You understand determination.
Yeah. I've got Gerald's Gerald's lightning. And that pretty well stays within 3 feet. I'll have to say that he's got that one down pat.
I'm glad.
I understand the difference between determinate and indeterminate, but I always get confused about which term applies to which definition.
It's not nice to switch the labels on those things.
Right, yeah. So one of them keeps growing and gets really, really long.
It's like trying to work Pavlovian into a conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the same
thing. I don't do that very often, Mike.
Determinative. Well, we'll see before the show is over if we can work Pavlovian into a conversation.
I think you just did.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
twice.
Something.
Well, I'd be reminded of the
true use.
The Proverbs, he who holds his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. About about Pavlovian.
So
a Pavlovian cat. That's what you got. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so
a what? Pavlovian cat?
Yeah, that's
explain that, sir.
It is unexplainable.
Oh.
You can't teach a cat anything.
Well, getting back to
they can teach you.
Well, getting back to tomatoes, a lot of folks do grow their tomatoes in the ground or in a raised bed, and water is the key. I mean,
they drink water.
Amen.
Mostly water.
Just like Craig was saying with the straw bales or the containers, if you're growing them in the ground, water is the key. And you can overdo it as easily as you can underdo it because, as we mentioned many times, tomatoes are very, very susceptible to all kinds of root and stem rot diseases, fungi, bacteria, etc. And if you're overwatering and you don't have good soil drainage, you know that's going to be just as detrimental as underwatering. So you got to get it right.
You can much overwater in a well-drained pot.
Right. And that's the advantage.
Yeah, I was telling you before we came in today, Paul, I've noticed that in a smaller pot where I have a couple of my tomato plants, I've almost got to water them almost every day
right.
or every other day.
Right.
Or the top of them will wilt, and I don't think that's your Granville wilt.
Right.
I think it's just lack of water.
Right, right.
So if you're going to use a pot, get yourself a good sized pot.
Well, I think 5 gallon is the bare minimum. And, Gerald Adams is using, 20, 30 gallon pots? I mean, he's using big pots, which is probably the better way to go. The other thing is, if you are growing tomatoes in pots, you got to use potting mix. You can't go you can't go and dig up soil from another spot in the garden. You got to use potting mix. You might be able to use, raised bed soil maybe. Certainly there wouldn't be anything wrong with mixing in some compost, some topsoil, what you buy is bagged topsoil or black cow or something like that. But you can't go and just dig up soil out of the garden or the yard.
Yeah. All right, 919-860-9783. Steve is with us. Hey, Steve.
It's news time. Can I wait until after the news?
We got 25 minutes. I mean, got 5 minutes. Four minutes.
Got
4 minutes.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at 1 o'clock and then another.
Yeah, we got 4 minutes for you.
We're in Rusting from deadheading, and we've got 229 plants in bloom today, so we're on the upward trend towards our peak.
Wow. That must be quite a show.
Absolutely a sea of color out there. This has got to be the best bloom year we have ever had.
Well, we're in zone 8 now, so things are blooming like crazy. We aren't getting those cold hits that we were getting.
Yeah, our gardenias are doing great too.
Yeah, mine are looking fantastic. All the varieties I have are, which are not that many, but they all are looking good.
Yeah.
Steve, I've always wanted to ask you, out of your daylilies, bloom once a day, which variety has the most blooms on it in the longest period of time?
I'm looking at my expert.
Have we stumped her too?
Well, we just got a new one a couple of summers ago called Unstoppable. That has a lot of bloom buds, and it does rebloom. So, and the way you can tell that is if you look at the clump and you see scapes on fans, and then you see fans without scapes, there's a possibility that that one will rebloom. It has later scapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell her to pick up the phone.
Here.
Yeah, tell us. We don't ever hear from you except in the background. Now, what were you saying?
Right now, some of them are blooming beautifully, but they're already shooting up the rebloom stalks. You can see it down in the foliage coming
Wow.
up.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is this, are we at the peak right now, as far as you're concerned?
No, peak is around 350.
Oh,
wow. So we've
got
another week or two. It's been wonderful having this nice, cool weather for the last few mornings.
Isn't it great? It's just extraordinary for June 1st to be able to,
it's so cool when I go out there before 7 o'clock that some of the blooms are not fully open.
Right.
You have to be careful which ones you deadhead.
Yeah, I suppose so, but this is a great day to deadhead or do any type of gardening, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'll let you have him back.
All right. Well, thanks for that.
How far down do you go on the deadhead?
We just pick the bloom off.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Can't take the scape.
No, of course not.
You get
and each branch has more than one bloom on it, so you want the blooms to stay. Buds. But anyway, let me get this out real quick.
We got 1 minute.
My garden is just one more. If you go to the Raleigh Daylily website, there's a tab called Display Gardens. My garden is listed there. I'm open. We're not going anywhere today, as far as I know, and we're willing to take any visitors. And I have clumps that do need to be divided, so if you come,
wow,
I will not let you leave without a plant.
What a wonderful thing. Steve, thank you so much.
Yep.
You have a great day, both of you. Have a wonderful day.
Worth the trip.
I know. We should.
All right. Love you guys.
You take care, my friend.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. That's Daylily Steve. Just one more, the Daylily site.
Yeah.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We're going fast here, folks. Fast. All right. We're back on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. You like that Daphne, huh?
Rose? Oh, I love that Daphne.
Isn't that the funniest Daphne in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Well, as I mentioned to you, and you all saw at the little garden party, I've got three that I've taken a pot with good soil, bent a limb down, put a brick on the top, covered it with a little bit more soil, and we'll wait till this fall and see if it roots.
Now, That's a tough thing to do.
We know they don't like wet roots, but I think I've got to keep that sort of wet that pot occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. Yeah, layering. It's called layering. And you can do that with a lot of different shrubs. You can do it with grapevines.
I've never tried it with a Daphne.
Azaleas. You know, I don't think we ever asked Miss Ann. I don't know that we ever discussed her. She really knew how to... take camellia cuttings, for instance.
Rose suggested this on.
And we haven't heard from Rose in a while. I don't know what she's doing. I hope she's okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of plants you can propagate from your own garden. A lot of shrubs. Yeah, and it's just a matter of following the recommended.
If you got the patience.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of patience for anything.
I'm glad you're not a doctor.
That could never happen. I'd be declared incompetent by the medical board very quickly, I'm sure. I'm just a dumb disc jockey is what I am. You know, this is where life has taken me. I can do this, but I can't do much else.
An award-winning disc jockey.
Well, I've done okay with this. I mean, it's taken a long time, but I've...
Some of us have Hall of Shame. You've got Hall of Fame.
Well, they can't take that away from me, whether I deserved it or not. They can't take it away. So, yeah, I'll take that title. That's a nice title.
And, yeah, before and we forget
well deserved.
It, I want to say Cliff Joyner says today,
well,
passion is the log that keeps the fire of purpose blazing. Now, Oprah Winfrey really said that.
Boy, but Cliff was having a real good day when he said that.
Wasn't it amazing?
Passion is the fire that keeps purpose blazing. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have passion and purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Oprah Winfrey said that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And well, applies well to gardening.
And she's done very well.
She's a billionaire, so certainly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a good person. Practices kindness, decency, empathy.
Have you ever met her?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's a one person that I've ever mentioned that you haven't met.
No, I've never had the pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking the other day.
And Harry Truman, you said you didn't meet him.
I didn't get to meet Harry Truman.
I didn't
Truman.
Meet him, but I was 20 feet away from him in 1960.
Yeah, you showed me that picture of
yeah.
Mr. Cooley.
And Luther Hodges and a gentleman running for governor of North Carolina at the time, Terry Sanford.
Terry Sanford.
All on the bandstand there in front of the courthouse in Nashville
yeah.
for our Harvest Festival. And he spoke, and it was Truman spoke, and he rode in a car. In the parade and stood up and waved at people. Quite a gentleman.
The haberdasher.
Yeah.
That many people, a lot of folks, I didn't know what that word was until I one time had my daddy.
There's a book. I can't remember the name of it. I need to find the book that's just written about his first few days in the White House.
About Harry Truman?
As president, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And, I mean, you know, that... The president dies, and he's just kind of an unknown vice president.
Right.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, he is literally thrust into this. And he's not even living at the White House. I mean, not long after he is installed as president, he's living at the Blair House because they mm-hmm. they found out that the White House was caving in. So,
yeah, and history is treating him now with a great deal of respect and a lot of good scholarly work of being one of the top-tier presidents.
Yeah, he was blamed for a lot of things, and, you know, he's...
Give him hell, Harry.
Yeah.
The buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to give a little talk the other day, and I used Jimmy Carter as a president who has really done something with his life after the presidency.
Yeah.
You just think about it.
He's the
what
type
a
of person we could have. He is one president we could have had on this show,
mm.
and talked about. I'm sure he was a gardener.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean he was a peanut farmer.
Mm.
He
yeah.
knew about crops, knew about gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could have had him on.
I had a friend from Hickory, John C. Setzer, who, when Jimmy Carter was teaching the Sunday school lessons, she drove down there every other Sunday to Plains, Georgia from
hmm.
Hickory
hmm.
to be with him at one of his Sunday school lessons.
Mm. Yeah.
And I regret that I did not take up her invitation to do that sometime.
Yeah, you should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. sure that's quite a drive, but that's all right. Billy Howe is with us at the State Farmers Market is what I was trying to say. Morning, Billy.
Good morning, yeah.
Have you ever, in your wildest imagination, imagine a June 1st being like this, the weather.
I was telling my wife about this morning. We're riding up to Raleigh. I was like, here it is. You got to have a sweater on this morning. And it's June 1st. And I was walking around out here this morning watching the customers as they started coming in and the workers, how many people have shorts on, how many people have sweaters on.
I had both on this morning.
Or a combination, yeah, yeah. What is that? Your legs don't. I've never understood that. I see people with sweatshirts on and shorts. Your legs don't get cold? Are they numb or what?
Well,
poor circulation?
You keep your core warm.
Yeah, you keep your heart warm.
Yeah.
Or you keep it cold. Richard Petty used to wear a bag of ice.
Mm-hmm.
He changed it at pit stops, wear a bag of ice over his heart.
Yeah.
Stick it inside of his driving suit to try to keep cool because they didn't have cool suits and cool helmets and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it certainly makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Wearing a bag of ice?
You get wet.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I've never tried it.
So, Billy, this is we're getting into the season where y'all got a lot of vegetables and fruits coming in. Tell us about that.
We do. We have just an abundance of strawberries, peaches, and blueberries. Blackberries are coming off. We actually have our first crop, first mess of corn come in this morning. It come from Johnson County. It's bicolor corn. Monica told me it was going to be here. She went out and looked at it at the farm not too long ago. She said, "It's already here." I said, "Boy, now it's time to roll. Time for us to go to work around here."
Are you saying that you haven't been working up to this point,
no,
Billy?
No, he's saying he's going to shuck corn for people.
I could do that if I bring my granddaughter. She loves shucking corn.
Well, it's a lot better than dealing with butter beans or peas. I tell you, my thumbs started hurting after a while.
I do not like shelling butter beans. I don't mind shelling peas. But the good part out here, when all the butter beans all come off, you can get them already shelled.
I have never seen that in action. The marvels of mechanical industry and invention is amazing to me that they could develop a machine that can shell shell most anything. Mm-hmm. You know, shell butter beans. How in the world does that work, Billy?
Well, you know what? You'd have to ask somebody like Rex Sasser because he's devoted a lot of time into doing that. I do understand like limit switches and some electronical part of it.
Uh-huh.
Never understood how that thing spins around and works. But like Rex was telling me, you know, he would set limit switches and put the bushel basket or pot or whatever at the end of his sheller, and when it hit the limit switch, once it got say like 40 pounds, bop, it would cut the whole machine off. Mm. I don't understand that part of it, but the rest of it I don't know.
I don't know how. I mean, they seem kind of
amazing.
Well, I don't understand peanuts. Now that one I don't. I can understand shelling butter beans a little bit better than I can peanuts.
Yeah, it's just a different dimension than we are in, people that can come up with stuff like that. My father-in-law could have done that, but he could have figured out stuff like that. He had an engineering degree, but.
Well, how about the old boy with the cotton gin several hundred years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Well, it's amazing, and that does it does make it a lot easier for customers out there. So, but we're a month or less from having butter beans?
Right.
Yeah, so, and then peas. Oh, boy, Crowder peas. A little fat
we
back.
We got string beans now and sugar snap. We got those.
Sugar
peas, yeah. You know.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're so good for you.
And you know what's amazing? I was sitting here talking to a couple of farmers this morning, and while they were talking, I guess they must have been eating breakfast because they just had a handful of just raw beans, just eating them.
Hmm. How about that? I've seen people doing that before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe a little salt and pepper. I don't know. Maybe a little salt and pepper and olive oil.
Well, sugar snaps are delicious raw. I mean, that's like almost like candy. They're mm-hmm. so sweet.
Right. And that's one of the first things that comes out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the fruit side, the peaches and and blueberries?
We have peaches are plentiful this year. They're sweet. I've had a couple so far. When I say a couple, I probably ate 8 or 10 of them.
So. Now they usually start coming out of Anson County first, I think. And then are you getting Sand Hills peaches now?
Yeah.
Good.
They're not Freestone. I've got
no, not yet.
Some yesterday, and of course, you got to eat that like.
Don't chomp real hard down on.
I just eat it around the pit, skin and all.
Oh man, mm-hmm. That tickles your lips.
Yeah. Boy, that dust flavors
makes,
it up
makes
just
it
right.
Itch.
But they were really good.
Itchy. Mm. I can't. It is certain textures. I'd rather peel that off.
Mm. And also, Billy, the people forget you can still get apples at the farmer's market. My wife, like our friendly denouncer here, Mike Raley, eats oatmeal every morning, and she eats an apple, puts in the microwave and has an apple with it, and I get one for each day of the week, a different variety. And you can still buy apples at the farmer's market. Yeah. I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go a couple of weeks with all the varieties we have out here.
I know. It's amazing. Oh, that's good. Are there still, you have blueberries. They've started coming out.
Strawberries.
Still got strawberries, huh?
Yes. I ate a strawberry this morning from Wilson. It was, and man, that thing was so sweet. It was probably the best one I had this year.
Well, I'm sure that the strawberry growers are glad to have some dry weather. But
well, we should be getting pretty close to the end of strawberry season.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I think a lot of them are probably already done, which means that if you go out and you buy strawberries today, get yourself a bucket and then get yourself a second bucket to freeze.
Yeah, or go out and pick some. I think I guess you can still pick them.
Yeah, because strawberries, blueberries, peaches, those are all real easy to freeze. And we've got a narrow window here in North Carolina to get these things fresh. And so get yourself some extra to freeze, and then, you know, smoothies, pies, put them in your oatmeal in the morning, you know, with your yogurt, whatever, and continue to enjoy that North Carolina growing goodness.
Like you said, blueberries and strawberries, rinse them off. Now, what I do, I throw mine in a pan, throw them in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, don't stick together.
That's right.
Throw them in a Ziploc bag.
Yep.
And I reach in there every day and grab me three or four, you know, a handful of whatever.
Yeah.
Really easy food. Really easy food to eat.
Yeah. So up in the market shops, that bread. It's just unbelievable. That sourdough bread and raisin bread, cinnamon raisin bread. Oh, it's just it melts in your, if you buy it real fresh, it melts in your mouth.
It's real easy to eat too.
Yeah, I mean, I sit down and just eat a loaf of it.
Yeah, it's easy to eat. It's hard to stop eating.
Yeah, I know. If you want some carbohydrates, that's the way to go. You can go out and do some gardening.
And they have healthy stuff in there, too, like ice cream. You know, that's made from milk, so it's got to be healthy.
Well, come on now. They've got the health. The Rufus dog, come on now.
Oh, yeah.
That's Rufus healthy. Dog,
Oh, yeah, the Market Grill, that's down the – we're talking about the Market Bakery, but the Market Grill down the way, they got all kinds of stuff. And a lot of it, it's just incredible what they do with stuff. They've really dressed up Rufus dog.
The stir fry, too, they brought – down for us last time we were at the farmer's market. Their stir fry is wonderful. Great hamburgers. And of course,
Rufus was handing out cheeseburgers left and right down there.
Yeah.
And what? Oh, and hot dogs too.
Rufus dogs, yeah.
Our listeners were very happy. The ones who follow us and come to our remotes and stuff, they were very happy to be able to get those things, and they always take care of us at the farmer's market. There are plenty of the vendors bring stuff out, and whew, that is nice. So Billy, 321 Coffee is in the market shops and a lot of other things.
Get your soaps, your gifts. Today's one of those days I wish I had one of those hammocks.
Yeah.
Grab that.
Even this morning when it was extra cool, it was, you know, in the 50s, it was be delightful.
Come here and grab some plants out of the farmer's building and then get some cut flowers to throw in the house and get a hammock and go sit down and look at those flowers and watch your wife plant them. It's awesome.
Yeah, I bet you watch your wife plant them.
she
makes you plant them, doesn't she, Billy?
Yeah, kind of. I can always dream, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, so you have great restaurants out there. And as a matter of fact, we mentioned the Market Grill, but also the famous Farmer's Market Restaurant. And they got everything. that you could possibly want for breakfast. And then the seafood restaurant out there, they'll open up about 11 o'clock and all the seafood you could ever want to eat.
You better come hungry.
I will. Every time I'm out there, I'm extra hungry. And if you aren't hungry, then smelling the seafood, cooking, or smelling whatever, the biscuits and all at the Farmer's Market restaurant will make you. What's the timeline for Logan's moving in? Is that going to be months?
It's going to be in 2025. That's
2025. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they have a lot to do out there. And yeah, we're looking forward to that too. You're just going to have everything out there except the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, we may get one of them one day. Who knows?
Yeah, or at least get, I don't know where the commissioner's tall shopping cart is. I haven't seen that for a while, but I remember the only time I rode it was on the state campus when I was involved with a milking contest with him, and he won, of course. But both of us were having issues getting up into it and out of it. So maybe he's given up on that, but that maybe they could have rides out there.
Yeah, what's ever happened to that? I used to have it seat at the fairgrounds.
That was so much fun. I don't remember if we actually moved or not, but I think we did.
Yeah. The department got rid of that and got a great big F-650 that's being wrapped with great big old tires on.
A 650? I didn't even know there was such a thing.
That thing's huge.
Yeah, it must be. I got to look that up. And so it's going to be wrapped with Goodness Grows in North Carolina?
It has got the BNC logo on it.
Ooh. My goodness. All right. Well, y'all are open 7 days a week at any rate.
We are. And I did want to say Superstock. They're actually having a class. I believe it starts at 10 o'clock. But they're actually having a class and show people how to lay sod and probably talk about their...
Oh, yeah. What a great little course. I don't know if they've ever done that before, but they should do that every year. Because I mean, you could, if you got a pickup truck, you can put a pallet of sod in the back of that pickup truck. It fits perfectly, and go home and do it yourself. Especially on a day like this. Good gracious!
And what better people to teach you? People who really know.
Yeah, that is the truth. They definitely know. Well, Billy, always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. Anything else that you need to mention?
No, sir. I believe that's got everything. Y'all come see us.
We will.
I was forgotten to hunt it, but everybody knows that you can get good pork over it.
We get our chitlins and also fatback. Yes, indeed. And picnic ham. You know, a good picnic ham to boil and then bake. Whew. Boy, that's good eating. Billy, take care, buddy.
Y'all too. Y'all come see us.
We shall. You know, it's a wonderful time of year in the Triangle and elsewhere, and no critter seems to enjoy it more than squirrels. While squirrels can be pesky all year long, they are especially annoying in the spring and summer. And squirrels love nibbling on leaves and buds and digging in flower pots, and they become an expensive nuisance when they tear up outdoor furniture and also the decks. That's why you use iMust Garden Squirrel Repellent. iMust Garden Squirrel Repellent comes in both a liquid and granular form to best protect your garden. Use a granular repellent in your flower pots and beds to prevent digging. Spray the liquid directly on your plants to prevent squirrels from chewing on leaves and flowers. And it's really smart to spray the leaves of your tomato plants so the squirrels will leave your tomatoes alone, too. iMust Garden Squirrel Repellents are made with natural ingredients, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution for you, your plants, and the environment. Join the ranks of happy gardeners who've reclaimed their yards from iMust Garden Squirrel Repellent. iMust Garden Squirrel Repellent and other repellents are available all over the Triangle and beyond, including Logan's Garden Hut in Fuquay Varina, and both Durham locations of Triangle Ace Hardware. Plus, you know, Campbell Road Nursery has it too. Protect your garden today with iMust Garden Repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. iMust Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. We have less than a minute. before the news. We spent a very quick show and very varied in topics this morning.
We just heard from Joe the bouncer, who sent a beautiful, beautiful variegated. It's a variegated gardenia. It's just
oh my goodness! I haven't seen one of those.
Just amazing!
Isn't that pretty, Joe? You have good taste, man. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. I'm going to come over there and look at that a little closer.